Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So read the words of the First Amendment to the one-of-a-kind Constitution of the United States. The instructions to Congress are mandatory. They are absolute. You, Congress, you shall make no law. No law respecting an establishment of religion. That means, Congress, Senate, and House, that you cannot authorize, condone, support, or in any way enforce religion of any kind in the United States or upon the people. Stay out of the business, Congress, of the church and of worship and belief. No law. And furthermore, House and Senate, you shall not be in the business of prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That is religion. Make no law and in no way prohibit the free exercise of religion. The free exercise of religion can occur anywhere and at any time by anyone. Congress, don't try to stop or in any way prohibit the right of we the people to exercise, to carry out, to do, to perform, and be proud of our exercise of religion, including a testimony to our beliefs, anywhere, at any time, by anyone, Congress. When we exercise our religious rights, we are free to do so anywhere, anywhere, including the public square. We are free to pray, to worship, to testify, to sing, to dance, any way we want, in any civil, loving, passionate, and praising way we choose. So don't make any law of any kind, Congress, none whatsoever, establishing or constructing religion, and most importantly, Congress, don't make any law which prohibits the free exercise of any and all things religion. And to be sure, Congress, that right is not at all confined to the four walls of a church, but can occur anywhere, at any time, in this great and free land of ours. Ours, yours and mine. Don't even think about it, Congress. Don't. Make no law. No law. But they do. This Congress and this President make laws which tell religion what it must do and without any respect therefore. Like Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and the mandatory medical insurance requirements which force religious nonprofits, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, and Islam, to provide medical insurance for abortion, abortifacients, and other medical devices and substances which kill babies. They, the Congress, and of course the President, usurp a power not granted by the Constitution. They establish a requirement for all, including religious organizations, which prohibited these religious organizations from practicing their faith, following it, and refusing to participate in any activity or law which was fundamentally opposed to their beliefs. And that former Democratic Congress, and of course this President, could care less about the Constitution, or violating one of its most precious principles and rights, wanting only to do what they wanted to do, irrespective of the Constitution. Never mind the Establishment Clause or the Prohibition Clause in the First Amendment. Never mind. If you don't like what we do, take the Obama approach. Sue us. Sue us. Which, of course, millions of American citizens did and are doing. And they will do as the prohibitions of the free exercise of religion increase. And they will. And now comes gay marriage, this brand, newly found and newly minted constitutional right, found nowhere, not even hinted at in our great Constitution. But three men and two women, total five, had the infinite wisdom to identify this long-hidden constitutional right, announce it with judicial fiat in the landmark decision Obergefell versus Hodges. And now 320 million Americans are subject to all of the legal ramifications of this decision, which in fact, in part, establishes a religion, or at least fundamentally changes long-held beliefs by existing religions, no matter the harm or the constitutional prohibition. The Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS, just established the religion of gay marriage, and the further establishment of this new religion has only just begun. Religious establishment by any governmental agency not only means the creation of something new, but as well the tearing down of something old and traditional. Three black-robed women and two men, again, five, have announced that gay marriage is a constitutional right, requiring all religions in the free exercise of their religious beliefs to recognize these newfound religious and constitutional rights and beliefs, engrafted on their religion, abridging their freedoms, and telling them what to believe, what is right. And the extension of this newfound constitutional right has only just begun. The courts will be swamped with litigation, of course by the gays pushing hard a gay agenda. And then in return, all others who passionately disagree and refuse to obey this newfound ruling, constitutional right, in essence, in my opinion, this new law. And that led the Wall Street Journal to state as follows. Future legal contests may determine whether tax-exempt religious schools can reject gays and lesbians. Will they ever? And whether private businesses can refuse them service because they believe their religion compels such exclusion. And there will indeed be many of these so-called future legal contests to determine the rights of religious schools. Take the Catholic Church, for example. Can they, with the direct demands and requirements of Catholic theology and belief, can the Roman Catholic Church be forced to accept gay and lesbian students, or teachers for that matter, no matter their beliefs? You can be sure those schools will be tested, and legally so. And the same for private businesses. The case Hobby Lobby granted certain protections and rights to business owners with firm and fair religious beliefs. You can be certain that decision and its ramifications will be tested once again. There is newfound power and encouragement to gay and lesbians to do more, get more, destroy more, as a result of the Obergefell decision. This newfound constitutional empowerment will wreak havoc on established religious institutions. Here come the lawsuits. Not only did Obergefell establish legal right and empowerment to gay marriage, but emotional and psychological as well. Hear the words of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the decision for the majority five, just five of them. Those words were as follows. Marriage, said Kennedy, marriage responds to the universal fear that a lonely person might call out to find no one there. My soul. And then Kennedy went on to state, marriage embodies a love that may endure even past death. The plaintiffs in this case hope not to be condemned to live in loneliness, excluded from one of civilization's oldest institutions. Are we talking constitutional law here or poetry? In fact, that led one journalist to state that Justice Kennedy had constructed an ode to love. An ode to love. Love it. Rather than a strong legal opinion, and another described this emotional ranting by Kennedy as, quote, 9 parts romantic poetry and 1 part legal analysis, end quote. The Kennedy writings in Obergefell, said yet another writer, were judicial activism, extremism at its highest. Kennedy's Supreme Court colleague Antonin Scalia stated that if he were ever to join an opinion with a sentence like that is Kennedy's writings, he would, quote Scalia, hide my head in a bag. This was the language of the mystical aphorisms of the fortune cookie. Well, right on, Justice Scalia, right on. The Supreme Court indeed run amok, well away from its constitutional authority, making law. The Supreme Court making law. And more from an aggressive dissenter, Chief Justice John Roberts, who said, if you are among the many Americans of whatever sexual orientation who favor expanding same-sex marriage, by all means celebrate today's decision. But do not celebrate the Constitution. It had nothing to do with it. A hearty amen to that, Justice Roberts. There just is no such right to gay marriage, express or implied, in our Constitution of the United States. None whatsoever. This was a matter, as another justice said, for the states to decide. The states. Marriage was the special legal province of each of the states, and not the federal government. That mattered nothing to the blinded, prejudiced, liberal, and even radical liberal element of the Supreme Court. Four justices voting in lockstep for anything and everything liberal, whether constitutional or not, including Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. And when joined by the newly minted romantic poet, par excellence, Justice Anthony Kennedy, forced this newly found, these five of them did, this newly found constitutional right on we the people, now and forevermore. The right to gay marriage came as a result of Kennedy's Ode to Love. Wow, what a world. There are two major concerns for religious institutions and entities and individuals. The first is a fear that the church and the synagogue will be legally required to employ or otherwise permit gays and lesbians to participate in and be a part of the religious life of that institution. That, of course, includes what may become a legal requirement for pastors, priests, and rabbis to perform gay marriage in their church or synagogue, even though that would be expressly forbidden by their scripture or Torah. So then, they say, it would be a matter of whether or not the people of faith and their institutions would follow God's law or man's law. To employ gays, admit them freely to religious schools, or marry them will be the new issues of the day, sure to come. And lots of litigation with it. The first battle of the war having been won, the next battle will be indeed at the church door. Sooner or later, said one gay leader, your church will be required by affirmative action to hire gay and lesbian employees and to perform gay marriage in your church, no matter what you believe. We will fight for those rights with all of our might, and sooner or later, we, the gay and lesbian activists, will make them happen. So now, in this fight, one Chase Jennings of Family Research Council sent out a cry and an encouragement to Christian people with these words. He, God, he is looking for a faithful people. A faithful people. Those, he went on to say, who would show the love of Christ by speaking the truth of Christ, urging the church to rise up and realize that this is not the end of the struggle for marriage, but the beginning of the fight for freedom. Don't you love that? Well said. And indeed it is. For there really is no conservative or person of faith who could ever possibly accept in good conscience or in any credible way the words of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who wrote in the Obergefell decision the following. It must be emphasized that religions and those who adhere to religious doctrines may continue to advocate with utmost sincere conviction that by divine precepts, same-sex marriage should not be condoned. The First Amendment ensures that religious organizations and persons are given proper protection as they seek to teach the principles that are so fulfilling and so central to their lives and faiths, and to their own deep aspirations to continue the family structure they have long revered. Wow. Do you believe that? Do you think this Supreme Court is going to protect those rights as the next round of litigation happens? High-sounding words, more romantic poetry for conservatives and religionists, but for most, anything but legally compelling. Note that Kennedy said nothing about practice, exercise, or conduct. Those high-sounding words said nothing about the right of exclusion of anything gay or lesbian from the religion itself. That admonition from Kennedy said nothing about the right not to hire, or not to perform gay marriages, or not to allow gays and lesbians in parochial schools. Nothing. All it said was that religions and religious doctrines may continue to advocate, that is, testify and preach, regarding their belief in divine precepts that gay marriage should not be condoned. Kennedy seems to be stating that the First Amendment allows such contrary speech, but again, says nothing about conduct. Conduct. When you talk about gay marriage, says Kennedy, from a religious perspective, you will be protected by the First Amendment, with proper protection in your teaching. Teaching. Note that word. But not necessarily in your conduct. Including employment, again, church practices, marriage performances, and religious school enrollments. It says nothing about any of that. The Kennedy statement is almost an endorsement and empowerment of the gay and lesbian agenda to go further, demand more, and create further legal upset to establish religions and their beliefs and the practices thereof. And so the fight just now really begins. No person of faith should ever believe these Kennedy words. No person of faith should ever believe or rely on those words, or believe that there will be, in fact, proper protection for anything religious, and even eventually for free speech of that religion. No one should really believe that. Do you? And even President Barack Hussein Obama weighs in with the following words. I know that Americans of goodwill continue to hold a wide range of views on this issue, that is gay marriage. Opposition in some cases has been based on sincere and deeply held beliefs. All of us, hey, that would be Mr. Obama, all of us who welcome today's news, you know, Barack Hussein Obama, the Christian, one who has always been an aggressive advocate of the gay agenda, those of us who welcome today's news should be mindful of that fact. Oh, please. And recognize different viewpoints, revere our deep commitment to religious freedom. I wonder what Mr. Obama's position will be when the first lawsuits for gay marriage hit the churches. Do you believe this so-called Christian? I don't. But if you analyze these Obama words carefully, there is nothing legal, nothing at all about proper protection, but only a suggestion that people are entitled to different viewpoints even as they revere their deep commitment to religious freedom. It is a typically bland, generalized, presidential ode to love, which says nothing at all about his future conduct as president, legal and otherwise, even as Obama and his ilk do anything and everything possible to foster the gay agenda and, in the views of millions, attack traditional people of faith. You can bet your next offering gift that Obama and company have no intention whatsoever of revering our deep commitment to religious freedom. There has been at work in Congress, but since backburnered, a proposed piece of legislation known as ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That act, congressional legislation, if passed, would require all entities, all, to hire gay and lesbian employees in an affirmative action way. That is, either directly or indirectly by quotas, percentages, and otherwise to make certain that there was fair and proper representation in employment of gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgender persons. And you can bet your next gift in the offering plate that this legislation will move forward and the principles contained therein will wreak havoc upon Christian and Jewish institutions and entities, whether profit or nonprofit. Watch out for ENDA. Not a good time to be a Christian unless you, like me, are prepared to fight the fight of faith. Are you? I hope and pray you are. And more about this from Time magazine, an extremely liberal rag. Time editors were urging Washington to hurry about the business of doing what Solicitor General Donald Verrilli threatened, namely, to strip the tax exemptions from faith-based groups, schools, and charities. Here it comes. And hear the words of Verrilli. Scary words indeed. Rather than trying to rescue tax-exempt status for organizations that dissent from settled public policy on matters of race or sexuality, we need to take a more radical step. It's time to abolish or greatly diminish their tax-exempt statuses. Wow. Those aren't fighting words. I've never heard any.